Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello,
say hi, Mandy.
Do you hear us? Like, we do that, like, wait to see if our intro is going to start automatically now. We're like, is it going to start or not?
It's a blog talk toss-up. Woo!
It's a surprise. Like cracker-jacking. Yay!
I think that means something completely different. It sounds naughty. You're going to get some strange emails. That was Mandy.
Yeah.
My Michelle disclaimer. I can't handle Mandy's emails. My head would spin and explode. I don't understand.
You can't handle the truth, yeah.
No, today we have an exciting show. We have a couple authors coming to visit us. Liz Craven and Taryn Blackthorne.
Yes.
And so that's going to be exciting. They'll be Liz will be calling in here in a few minutes. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, I got an exciting announcement. Call of the Lycan, my novella trilogy, just released in print, and I got a new cover.
Sexy, sexy, too. You got that hot model with, like, the white blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you met him. He actually escorted you. Mandy got to touch my cover guy.
He's got a really nice little accent, too, when he talks. I mean, not that his chest and his abs wasn't enough, but, you know, add in an accent. Hello, mama. Woo.
Yeah, it was at the RT conference when
Laura's
Cave authors are escorted across stage, and he was Mandy's escort. So
he was so sweet. I'm like,
it's only across stage, though, all you dirty minds.
I'm going to trip. He goes, it's okay, I'll hold you up. He was so nice of him. I'm like, gee, thanks.
I'm surprised you didn't have him carrying you across the stage.
Feed me grapes, baby. Feed me grapes. There we go.
He's like, I'm going to need all of you and one of those Egyptian loungy chair things. Great.
Oh, that is so what I'm doing next year.
It's the Lord's Cave. I think they should carry us across the stage.
Well, you know, I could break someone's back if they're not careful, but
fans, petition the Lord's Cave. Authors need to be carried.
Two models, please.
I just had this vision of a Lord's Cave firing us. Your services are no longer required. Quit giving the fans ideas.
We hope you choke on a grape. Damn you. Oh, yeah.
So,
if
anybody wants to check out that cover, you can get it from jasmine-jade.com. It's one of the new covers. It's Call of the Lycan. Or you can go to my website, michellepillow.com, and I've got a version of the cover right there on the front page. So, but it's worth looking at just for the cover alone. I'm so excited. I love New Cover Day.
I'm going to print all your covers and play pin the drool mark on them. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think the photograph would last. You'd have to laminate it.
That's okay. I was just thinking that.
Mandy died yesterday from toxic poisoning from eating printed paper. We have no idea why she ingested 20 pounds within 5 minutes.
Okay, speaking of possibly dying, I'd like to talk about the 4th of July.
It's a great holiday, and I support it completely. Nick?
Yes. Now, do you have all your fingers still?
Nothing was set on fire this year.
Besides yourself. Okay, you're going to need to tell them about your 4th of July.
I did not set a tree on fire this year.
Congratulations.
Do you see me, the environmentalist here?
Yeah, you single-handedly wipe out the western seaboard. Yeah, I understand, yeah. It's not a forest fire, wildfire problem. It's Michelle Head Fireworks. Yeah.
I really should work for NASA with my finger on the big buttons. Look, pretty!
State should outlaw them. I'm just saying.
I'm the poster child for outlawing fireworks. Completely. 4th of July will now be celebrated with streamers and balloons. I had one mild burn this year. Mild burn. Mild. From a torch.
Oh, my gosh. I had a cute little thing. They were setting them off over the lake, which is across the street from my house, and it was literally shaking our house. And the littlest one here jumps out of bed, and he goes, "They're shooting at us! They're shooting at us!" And he's, you know, running around the house, and he's all worked up, and he's in this panic, and I'm like, it's just fireworks. And you see him kind of take this little, like, exhale breath, and he's not really sure if he should believe me because I have a tendency to pull his leg a lot. So he, like, goes to his father to make sure it's safe. Wow. Yeah, and the other ones, you know, slept through it. They didn't even know.
Yeah, yeah.
4th of July, they're all cold. Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't believe you live in a state that doesn't allow you to shoot fireworks.
I know.
I think setting things on fire and burning yourself is like an American right.
It's an American.
I'm going to petition for you.
The right to bear fireworks. Yes.
The right to burn yourself like a dumbass who's drunk on the 4th of July. Oh, wait, I swear I wasn't drinking that day. Responsible adult with fire.
Yeah. Responsible. Yeah, we seem to have quite a bit of them. We have a lot of shows that they put on around here. We've got the Country Club puts it on. The city puts it on 2 weeks in a row for the 4th, and then we have a festival coming up that they do them the week after. I'm like, you know, silly us. Why would we save money and do them once? No, we like to pay higher taxes. Yeah. Yeah, and ours was pretty uneventful. I mean, I sort of forgot it was the 4th at some point until, of course, the big boom and my son freaking out that we were being shot at. And prior to that, we hung out with my mom's, always fun, you know, go over for the family barbecue. And as I called it on my blog and on the web, my brother and stepdad argued over who was going to grill before my stepdad conceded that my brother burns things less. So, yep, you can set your watch by us. We're a pretty boring family.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. No one was set on fire?
Yeah, no, my mom actually sets herself on fire. She's like a pyromaniac when it comes to fireworks. Can you picture this out there? And she's holding them in her hand. I'm like, Mom, that's dangerous. Mom, oh, it's fine.
We actually have a question in the chat room. Buckley would like to know if we saw the new Wicker Man. And I'm thinking if we're going to give a spoiler away, so plug your ears for like 25 seconds. If you haven't seen the movie, or, you know, if you've seen the movie, there's this Wicker Man fire thing going on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Buckley, are you trying to say something?
What's really sad is I had no clue what he was talking about. I'm like, there's a new one?
It's Nicolas Cage.
Hollywood.
It's
yeah.
Nicolas Cage. It's the new Wicker Man. It was
really?
All right. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite movie of all time, but it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the concept of the Wicker Man is definitely interesting.
You know, Buckley, the original is a really great one. I didn't even know they made a new one. That's how out of the loop I am. I'm movie challenged, we'll say.
Well, Buckley says one of his favorites was the original, and that was 1973.
Hey,
he says it
you
was
know
awful.
It was great.
I'm
going
to have
like
to go with Buckley on this one since I haven't seen the original.
I'm telling you, Ski Patrol is one of my favorite movies that Taste Life lived
that
in.
That was Mandy, not Michelle. I don't want it on record that Michelle said that.
Thought the first one was pretty good, so I apparently have crap-tacular taste in movies, but I'm willing to stand by that.
Let's just say the most recent movie Mandy's watched was My Best Friend is a Vampire.
I actually have not seen that yet.
Well, I'm trying to get her to the 90s. I really am. But she thinks Gone with the Wind is a new release, people. It's a cry for help.
Okay, now someone's on the line. I'm not sure. This is showing up weird if it's a crank caller, which it probably is because of the way the number's showing up, or if it's our guest. So if it's a crank caller, I can't be held responsible if I tell them
we'll
to go
just hang up on him.
Yeah. Did you
beep,
like how
beep, beep,
myself?
Beep.
Did you like that?
Nice sound effect. The crank callers crack me up. They're very creative.
Hi, welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, this is Liz.
Oh,
hi,
good,
Liz.
Your number is showing
up.
How am I showing up?
It's showing up as just 111111.
Here,
one,
quickly,
one,
Mandy,
one.
Give it to the world. No.
Well, no, it. You know, the crank callers tend to show up as just ones all the way across the board. So I generally don't accept them. But I thought this one's actually holding on a while and waiting there, so it could be Liz.
And you were right.
Or a really persistent one, which I think he's then earned the right to be on the show.
Oh. Well, I'm almost disappointed not to be able to give you that.
Oh, my gosh. So, Liz, anyone who doesn't know about you, can you take a moment to tell them a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Sure. My name is Liz Craven, and I'm pretty much floundering through life at the moment. I'm supposed to be writing a dissertation, and I picked up and moved down here to St. Croix, which is why it's probably showing up as all those ones, because we're not really America. We're just a territory. So, and, well, quite frankly, when it's almost America, it's just weird. I do a little bit of writing, and I'm trying to avoid any kind of responsibility whatsoever.
Perfect. We're moving in with Liz.
We're going to visit Liz next weekend. All right.
Hey, another freaking day in paradise, I'm telling you. It's hard
now,
to beat.
Real quick,
now, I
want to
say,
hey, I want to know her newest releases. You get to wait till I'm done.
I was just going to say, I don't think she's floundering because I've seen the prophesized cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that cover.
Go ahead, ask your question. Go ahead, Mandy.
Okay, I want to know about your newest release.
My newest release.
Mm-hmm.
My newest release is Prophesied, and quite frankly, it drove me crazy for a while because I thought it should have been prophesized, but I found out that's not a word, and I'm too big of a grammar nerd to actually use that. So it's just it's a science fiction romance that I've had the idea for a while now and finally got around to putting it down on paper.
Excellent. Now, tell us a little bit about it. Now, I've actually read it. You did. You sent it to me ahead of time, and I got to read it. And I have to say, I'm kind of liking the heroine because she's not so much a lay-down-and-take-it kind of gal. I like that about her.
Well, thank you. The premise of the story is that in order to create to reach a peace, a prophecy had to be fulfilled, so they decided to forced the prophecy along, and the result was the birth of the heroine, whose name is Leah, and she has absolutely no interest in being anybody's savior. And the fact of the matter is, life can't basically continue on this world unless she does it. So it's a lot of frustration on her part.
Mm-hmm. Now, we can probably give away how they at least meet, because I don't think that's giving away too much, because it's towards the beginning of the book in that. And I remember reading it, and I'm totally visualizing the scene. I mean, you've laid it out with so much detail that I can completely see everything that's going on, which is always fun to lose yourself in the book.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm picturing this, and I'm picturing how this guy's expression must be, seeing this girl covered in grime from, like, the mine, not want anything to do with him. It's just great.
Oh, yeah. The only downside to writing futuristic is I have a very sarcastic voice, and I've learned through doing this book that most of my sarcasm comes from reference, and I had to go back and take a lot of that out, so it's not quite as snarky as it would have been otherwise. But, yeah, I did the best
now,
I could.
What is it that kind of like inspired you to write it?
Okay, this just shows what a pathetic life I actually do lead. I was watching an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and if you want me to get really technical, I can. I could actually probably act it out for you. Basically, there was the decision that they had a problem, and so they went and they got an old blade that had the blood of Kaelas on it, and they used cloning and cloned it and created this ancient warrior and brought him into the future. And he wasn't particularly happy about it. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thing to have happen, and went from there.
I loved that Star Trek, The Next Generation. I was a big fan of that one, too.
Were you? Oh, I loved it. Worf sitting there, and I'm going to stop talking now because, I'll be honest, my biggest fear is that I'm really a middle-aged man. I'm going to wake up. I'm living in my parents' basement practicing my Klingon for the next convention.
Invite me over. Teach me.
How many of you out there just threw up the sign of Spock? Who did it? You wanted to. Who did it?
We're on The Next Generation, Mandy. You're going to have to go to a different show.
Sadly, I know about it. I have not actually watched it, but I know about it. So.
Oh, I love Jean-Luc Picard's voice. It was so soothing.
Oh, it was great until he did the Crestor commercials.
Oh, well, yeah. I meant during the series. We don't talk about that.
There's just something anyone wrong when you're watching a commercial for some medication and it's Jean-Luc Picard. It's just not right.
Well, it's better than Bob Dole.
Okay, I thought those were funny.
I did, too.
Okay.
The first
really
time
quick.
I saw that one, I laughed until I cried.
Anyone wanting to call in tonight, the number is 646-595-3998. That's 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, so long-distance charges will apply. You can also find us at ravenhappyhour.com. Follow the prompts, and you will end up at the live chat going on. And I'm not sure, every once in a while, it's kind of a crapshoot. You can click to talk live, too. Really don't know if it's there or not, so can't promise you anything. Okay, we're talking with Liz Craven about Prophesize. No D on the end, right? Okay.
No Z in there anywhere.
Okay.
See, I always thought it was Prophesize, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Bill Gates kept telling me it was wrong. You know, it kept getting underlined in Word. And I finally went and got a dictionary, and lo and behold, he was actually right this time. So.
I was going to say, because usually Microsoft Word, I have to teach it what I want it to know.
Yes, and it cannot understand a clause.
Yeah.
I did tell you I was a nerd, okay? I want that out to begin with. So.
Just a tad, and I'm kind of loving
that. Oh, we're talking about grammar and Star Trek. I think it's out.
And
I'm right there with you.
The door is blown open, right? With dynamite or something.
Yeah, I'm standing there in my Star Trek uniform right next to you, so we're good.
Oh, so at least I'm not there alone.
Okay, now, is this a standalone or is this part of a series?
This is part of a series. I actually have almost finished the sequel. I've just got to go back and write the second chapter because at the time it seemed like a really good idea to skip it, and I don't know what I was smoking. So I don't really want to do it, but I have to, and then hopefully, I'm hoping it'll get published, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of us aren't, you know, all famous like y'all, so...
Oh, yeah. As we blow on our knuckles.
As well you should, because quite frankly, I don't think there's anything y'all have written that I don't own. So, and wow, that really sounded like I was sucking up, didn't it? I practiced that.
Yay! Okay, we accept that and chocolate. We're pretty easy, yeah.
Yeah, sucking up, welcome. Go ahead. Tell me more about me.
Well.
Oh, look, my time's up. I got to go.
They're crazy. Yeah.
Well, you have to remember it's almost America, so you're cracking on this end of the phone, so I hope to goodness it's not happening up there, but it's kind of hard to tell who's talking when, you know, the static's so loud. I apologize. But
no one can tell us apart, even people with crystal clear reception. You know?
Oh, really?
Well, you know, if they can, they're not telling us. Everyone who can't tell us seems to be the one who voices. Like, we never can tell you apart.
Oh.
You
know?
Yeah, nobody ever can. That's why Mandy tries to blame her stuff on me. I never say anything wrong.
Right.
I think I would like someone in my life I could blame everything on. That would make things so much easier.
Do you want to borrow Mandy?
Step away. There's a little bit of tarnish on her halo. She'll be right back.
Okay. Is this like a lease-to-own deal or, you know, temporary?
Yeah, it's the Rent-A-Center thing. She got it there. Yeah. She really liked it, though. It was shiny in the window.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can get it polished or something.
Am I muted?
No, not now. I unmuted you.
Mandy
oh,
has power
better.
Over the controls. She can do it, yeah.
Well,
so what's it like to be godlike?
Yeah, she doesn't want to hear what I'm saying. She just mutes me.
Yeah, it's good to be queen. Now, I'm curious about how it is you started writing.
Well, ever since I was little, I have had the worst time in my life falling asleep. And what I started doing from the time, you know, I can remember reading is I would take whatever book I was reading or had just finished reading, and I would take a pivotal point in the book, and I would lie in bed at night, and instead of the characters doing what they did in the book, they'd make another choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would follow that pathway until I eventually fell asleep. And eventually I decided, well, I was quite frankly bored in class one day, and instead of taking my notes, I started writing some dialogue that was running through my head, and I can't seem to stop. So it's kind of a weird path to go, I suppose. I entertained myself for years. I still entertain myself, just probably not as many other people as I'd like.
Now, what made you, what prompted you to take the leap and go ahead and submit in that?
You know, I really don't know what prompted it. I guess I just finally finished the story and decided I needed to do something with it after I got actually put it down on paper for once.
Mm-hmm.
So I've told myself literally thousands of stories. Eventually they were my own, and usually what I found was when I took another author's books,
mm-hmm.
especially as a child, and rewrote them, everybody either wound up dead or backed into a corner that I couldn't get them out of. So I figured it was much better just to use my own characters, even though they usually don't do what I want them to.
See, Dick and Jane get hit by a car. See, Dick and
Jane. I actually have done that just so I could finally fall asleep because I was so miserable. I can remember I was like 8 years old. I finally just killed all my characters off and started over with another book. There are psychiatrists listening to this thinking, oh, we have a gold mine here.
Writing down notes and writing their next novel.
Now, when you get writing in that, do you have anything that you do? I mean, are you one of those writers who, like, I walk backwards around my chair 4 times before I sit down and hum the national anthem? I mean, do you do anything like that?
No, but I may do that next time. That's going to stay with me for a while. You know, in the States, what I would do is I would, you know, you go to the coffee house and you take your laptop or you take a notebook. Well, we don't really have those here, but the bars open at 6 a.m., so, which is really great because we have the largest oil refinery in the Western Hemisphere, and you go in for breakfast somewhere and everybody's wearing the uniform and drinking beer. So you have to do the math as to where you are in relation to the oil refinery and the crater it would leave. But I now go to sit in bars at all hours of the day, and it probably looks really bad, but I've been taking the notebook because, you know, we don't have Wi-Fi reception in most places. So I guess if I can't get online, there's no point in me lugging the computer. So that's what I've been doing.
I just picture you moving from bar to bar going, you're my former Starbucks.
And the sad thing is they know me now. I mean, you know, I could...
You need to write a book about the oil workers.
Oh, I don't want them angry with me.
You know, I have to say...
They'll probably be in love with you.
One of my flights from a conference back, I sat next to a guy who works on, like, the oil rigs out in, like, the middle of the ocean and that. And he noticed right away that I am a nervous wreck when I fly. Nicest man in the world. Talked me through it, said I fly all the time. He's got to take, like, 6 flights to get home. And he goes home, like, once every 2 months and 6 flights to get back. And nicest man in the world. Did not have to take time with me.
Well, that was very kind of him.
Yeah, I thought so myself.
You know, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but I have to share. It's completely unrelated to anything. I was on a flight coming back. I won't tell you the airline, but I was coming from England into Atlanta, and the pilot came on over the loudspeaker and said that we had defied the laws of physics. He brought us in over 2 hours early. He had all these however many thousands of pounds of fuel left over, and basically he was God. And granted, I was exhausted, but I remember thinking at the time, this can't be good. And we landed the plane, and we went to go get our luggage and discovered they had not put anyone's luggage on the plane. The
Stop
plane
it.
Was thousands of pounds lighter.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they forgot to load the luggage.
Excuse me, God, you forgot my bag.
Yeah.
Really, and at that point, we all just wanted our toothbrush, you know?
Yeah.
And
oh my
I
gosh.
Do,
now, you know what? Buckley has a question for you. Wants to know, what's the biggest similarity you have with your characters?
The inability to follow a rational train of conversation. I wish I had a lot in common with my characters. They seem to have a lot of fun. I don't really have a lot in common with them. I would make a very boring character. You know, if there's someone who's sitting in a library where everything else is going on around them, that would be my character. So.
See, now, I have had a lot of back and forth in emails with you, and I have to say, you are a hoot. You do get going. You know, you definitely can get somebody laughing in that. So, and it does. It reflects in your writing, too. If anyone has read you, they're going to know that you've got that kind of, like, sarcastically, I don't know, you seem to sugar it up enough that it's not harsh. It's right there, but it's not harsh.
That's the Southern in me coming out. You can't be just blatantly snarky. You have to, you know, sugar it up, as you said. So Yeah, otherwise my mother would smack me.
Bite me sweetly. I'm kind of like, bite me.
Oh, in person it's not quite so sweet. Trust me.
Yeah. Now, a little bit about your backlist. You've got some other books that are out.
I do. I have a Shapeshifter series of novellas. And then the first book I ever published was Carjacked, and it's a contemporary comedy, and that's probably the one where I spoke the most freely in the voice I would like to always be able to use, because I didn't have to go back and take everything out, because, you know, it's okay if you reference Adam and Eve or whatever, cause, you know, that actually happened in this planet, so, or
right.
That's a whole different debate, I suppose. Didn't mean to upset anyone.
Oh, you know what? We are so politically incorrect, it's not funny. Yeah. You're on the right show. Okay.
Well.
Oh, my gosh. Now, let's see. You've got no real writing ritual that you kind of do. You just sort of, like, go and hang out the bars. We've established that. So,
I do, and they know me.
Yeah, and they know you.
And you have to understand, I was raised a very devout Southern Baptist, and so I can't tell anybody about this I'm related to. It's really kind of funny.
Like Norm from Cheers, you walk in and everybody's like, hey, hey.
You know, that probably would happen, but I try not to go during really busy hours because, you know, I feel guilty taking up the table or the bar seat, but the bartenders all do know me, and I walk in and they just walk over and, you know, sit whatever it is I normally drink there down in front of me, whether I want it or not. It's actually kind of funny.
I think I need to do this ritual.
Say that aloud 10 times. I feel guilty taking a bar seat from somebody.
Well, if I'm going to sit there and drink a Diet Coke for 3 hours versus, you know, somebody who's going to actually order enough to tip well, although I do try to tip them well. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather be on the road with you after 3 hours.
Of course, the sad thing is it does cost more for the Diet Coke than it does for any kind of liquor down here.
So, really?
And we just got a really big announcement. We're all very proud. Captain Morgan is moving to St. Croix. That gives us two of the largest rum distilleries in the world. So we can do oil and rum.
Well, I mean, they do go hand in hand.
Yeah, you know, always a good thing mixture to combine, especially when going to work. So
I'm going to have to try the bar thing. I really am.
Especially the ones that open at 6 a.m. And it's so much fun to me to go in and get breakfast and watch how many people come in and order a beer with their eggs. Again, I'm from Georgia. This is not something you see in the Southeast.
Yuck. Oh, my gosh.
For more than one reason.
Really quick again before we let you go, a little bit about your newest release, and can you give everybody your website?
Sure. My website is LizCraven, CRAVEN.com. And the latest release is from Samhain, if you want to say it how it's spelled, publishing, and it's called Prophesied, no Z, and it's hopefully going to do okay. Cross your fingers for me. I'm still a newbie, so this is very nerve-wracking.
No, I think it's going to be fine. It's a really good book, everybody. You've got to check it out. Awesome cover. You can't miss it. Liz just revamped her website, too, so everybody visit there and check that out. And we have a call on the line real quick. Let me grab and see who it is. Hi, thanks for calling Raven Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
hi, how
are you?
How you doing?
Good. My 14th birthday was 2 days ago, and I got the Paranormal State DVD collection from A&E, and I just watched the episode about the Mothman, and I just want to get you guys' opinion on that.
On the Mothman?
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those things that I don't necessarily want to dispel, because enough people have, like, had, like, sightings or incidents and everything else, and especially I'm in Ohio, and they had that big incident in Southern Ohio with it. So I don't want to completely dispel it, but then again, I have a hefty dose of, you know, skepticism when it comes to anything like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Michelle, what's your take on it?
You know, we don't really get the Mothman where I'm at. So that's something I had never even heard of until that Richard Gere movie came out. So I don't know that I am the utmost authority to answer that question. It's nothing I primarily.
My cousins, they live, like, I would say about 5 miles out of Point Pleasant, where, like, it was sited in 1966.
Right.
And she said that when she was walking home from the store with her friends for her mom getting groceries or whatever, that it was a full moon, and she looked up, and she saw, like, you know, red eyes just, you know, flying around the sky and then just, like, disappeared.
Yeah. So Liz, what's your take on the Mothman? Liz?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know much about the Mothman beyond the Richard Gere movie myself. And quite frankly, I've seen enough weird things in this world to not dismiss anybody out of hand.
Well, what gets me is the number of people, and it's not, you know, you always say, like, there's a lot of credible witnesses, but honestly, when it comes to this type of legend, there seems to be a lot more people you would consider, quote-unquote, credible coming out, and their stories, you know, are very similar, and then, of course, there's this big incident that'll happen that sort of backs it up, so it's really hard to dispel it, so I don't know, it's a really good question.
Well, like, we're going to
do a show on it.
On, like, the episode that they're, like, talking about the Silver Bridge collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people think that the Mothman has something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, if that was just, you know, a coincidence, or if, like, the Mothman actually has something to do with the Silver Bridge collapse on the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Your bath is ready.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and that was a really good question.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Liz, and thank you very much again, everybody. That's LizCraven.com. And go ahead and check her out. Make sure you check out her new website. Very nice. And her new book, Prophesize.
Thank you.
And thank you.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just going to say thank you again.
I was going to say thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thanks. Y'all have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
She's so cool. I want to go hang out with her at the bar so I don't get up at 6 in the morning.
I think we might have Taryn on the line. Let me see if this is Taryn. Hi, welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, it is Taryn.
Hi, Taryn. How are you?
Welcome.
Not bad. How is everybody?
Fine.
Good. Real good. Now, real quick, for anyone who doesn't know you, any of our listeners, Matt, can you tell them a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Okay. My name is Taryn Blackthorne, and between teaching during the day and moving around to my next teaching job, I'm substitute during the day, I write stories. And I happen to have gotten one published. It's my first published work. So.
Congratulations on that.
Yes,
thank
congratulations.
You.
Are you still on Cloud 9?
I am. I pinch myself. One of my friends called me up and said, come on, let's go out and get something to eat. I can't. I have an interview. You do?
So what's your favorite part about the process? What has been, like, the most exciting part?
About the publishing?
Yeah, just having your first book published. What was the most exciting part of that to you? Mine was cover art day. I loved cover art day.
I loved cover day. The most exciting day, the most hilarious day was my friend Robin came over, and I had submitted to, even for me to sew in publishing on a contest that they had. And they sent me the email saying, yes, congratulations, you're published. And my friend Robin came right over, and she said, guess what, you're going to be a famous author. And she said, I'm going to be your PR man, and we're going to do this kind of thing. We're going to have bookmarks and book plates and all these kind of contests. And I'm kind of sitting there going, but I'm getting published.
Okay.
But not that far. Robin's going
publicity.
On. Yeah. My friend, she's going on, and yeah, we need to get a web plate for you. I'm getting published. Okay, wake up. Come on with me. So it was
Have you went on, like, the writing high after you get your first contract? I know Michelle and I both did it, and we've talked to a lot of people, and it seems to be one of those things that you get so excited that you go ahead and produce quite a bit right away.
I produced a couple of files worth of that will never see the light of day. I reread the files, and I'm looking at it going, oh my God, what was I taking? No one shall ever see this.
You know,
did I not know what a verb was?
You should stick them out.
Did I not know what a verb was? Or let me see how
long. You should do it as like a free story on your blog for your readers.
Pardon me?
You should do it later. Do it as a free story on your blog for readers. I bet they'd get a kick out of it.
They would. I swear I had one sentence that went on for two pages. Oh my gosh, how did I get published with this again?
I said, you know, I want to do a bloopers bit on my blog. When I want to have authors submit, like, things they've done late at night or things they've that will never see the light of day, like, you know, oopsies, like, wrote an extra arm in the scene, suddenly an octopus or something. You know, I want to do that because how funny are some of these? When you go back and read, I mean, I will stare at my screen and be like, what the was I thinking?
The first draft of anything I'm looking, like, I do NaNo every year, mm-hmm. NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I love, and suddenly, I read my first drafts of NaNo, and they're like 40, and suddenly. And suddenly the hero runs across the stage, and suddenly my best friend showed up, and I was saved. I'm looking at it going, oh, dear Lord, wait, first draft, relax.
I always call that my and then moment.
Yeah. I have those too.
Yeah. Anyone who wants to call in and talk to Taryn, it's 646-595-3998. 646-595-3998. It's a New York number, so long distance charges apply. You can also find us through ravenhappyhour.com. Follow the prompts and you'll find the chat. Okay.
You notice how I'm making you do it this time? I haven't even tried to do it once. I just keep waiting until you do it.
But honestly, I'm running Reading Radio off the off the laptop tonight, so I have to keep running back to the desktop to see I am to talk to you. So frankly, it's just not worth my effort. I'll just do it.
You need
I'm
roll.
On protest. I'm on protest with the announcing of the number. I decided I wasn't doing it.
Why?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were protesting.
Makes me do it every week. And she keeps promising to get, like, an automatic file that says it so she can just play it.
And so she can play it over you?
Well.
Okay.
If you didn't notice, Mandy's in charge of the controls.
Mandy, do you like pressing buttons?
I do.
She does, especially mine.
The big do not press button that's red?
Oh, my God. Now, okay.
Anyway, tell us about your first book. We didn't get to that, the title and what it's about.
Okay, the first book, it's called Even for Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about Aislinn Rivers.
It's a fantasy, right?
It's an urban fantasy. Sorry about that. Urban fantasy about Aislinn Rivers. She has been transformed to a shifter against her will. And she's on the run from the witch who did it. So she lands in Denver. And in Denver, there's a serial killer who has dubbed himself the Ghost Cat Killer.
Oh,
but because,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Oh, cool that he's killing people, but cool.
I understood. The Ghost Cat is another name for a cougar or a mountain lion. And that just happens to be what Aislinn turns into. So she's a little freaked out that she might actually be this killer. And Jackson Havens shows up, and he's a ghost hunter for his day job. But he's decided to take on a quick contract to catch the killer for his employer, and he gets double-crossed. The two of them get stuck together, and then they have to find out who the real killer is before the killer kills them. See, I'm having another moment, first draft moment. The killer killers them.
You know, I have found that it's really easy to talk about everybody else's book besides my own. I keep going on, I'm like, and then.
Yeah, I could read you the blurb, but I thought, you know what it is. You know, you wrote it, so just summarize it. And then, killer killed.
Yeah, now, so did you have, like, this burning desire to get in there and do cat shifters and that? I mean, have you always had, like, a love for big cats and things like that? Or how did this come about?
This story was actually, I grew up next to a place called Wolfville. And there's wolves everywhere. And so there's lots of stories about seeing werewolves around where I grew up or, you know, somebody, or big black dogs. all these stories about wolves, and I thought, well, what happened to cats? So let's have a massive cat story that has a cougar in it or something in North American that can actually, because cats do damage. And, okay, so we're going to have the werewolf instead of a werewolf, it's going to be werecat, and then we're going to set it in, well, I'm living in Denver, so let's set it down here, and Denver's a big city, and we're going to have a murder. Just because. We're going to throw it all in there.
I'm feeling like killing somebody, all right.
Yes. Well, as a teacher, I can't really kill students, but I can, you know.
Oh, it's a perfect way. Writing's a perfect way to vent out your frustrations.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
And I'm sitting here looking at your cover for this right now, too, and it's a gorgeous cover by Anne Kane.
Yeah.
Wonderful artist at Samhain. They have great artists. And oh, hey, Mandy's an artist for them. I outed you again. But no, Anne, she's not Anne Kane.
Okay, because I was going to say thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful cover.
Thank you.
Are you Anne Kane?
No.
Oh.
No. Not any of my personalities. No.
I got a lot of them, but I don't think that's it, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
There's a Toby. There's a Chelsea. Nope, no Anne. So we're good.
Now, what kind of things are you going to be working on next? Are you going to stick with, like, urban fantasies? Or...
Sorry.
I was going to say, are you going to spread out to different types of genres?
Well, I have the sequel to Aislinn up. I'm on third draft. And I have a couple of other stories in that world, based in that world, with those rules. Ow, my cat. Sorry. She's decided to say hello.
Oh, that's okay. My dogs were barking earlier, so...
Wild Kingdom. We just ignore it. We're good.
Just keep going. We're good.
Every once in a while, if you hear me go, it's my cat. She's decided to play with my feet. Her idea of playing is, white meat. Oh, so. No, I've got mostly urban fantasy. I've got a couple of different ideas for... set in there's a lot of maritime legends that I might want to put down to paper as soon as some members of my family pass away so they won't ever read them. You know, I love you, but you'll never let me write that and get away with it.
Is there anything that you won't write? I mean,
you'll probably never see any male romance from me, just because I didn't see Brokeback Mountain, and I have no idea how that would happen. I mean, I know the mechanics of the actual act, but the whole falling in love part, that I might miss. I might mess up. So you'll probably never see that from me.
Yeah.
But along
with you're not sure about the, you know, whatever. It makes sense that you wouldn't, you know, want to write about it, misrepresent whatever. I mean, it makes total sense.
Yeah, like I have nothing against, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Man love, that's best, you know. If that's best for you, go for it. But I sound so moronic. But hey, you're getting a good slice of my life.
I just don't like being left out of the equation.
Yeah. You can just hold the camera,
hey,
that's all.
What about me? Hello.
No, we have a question in the chat room. Buckley wants to know, why so many teachers turn writers?
I think a lot of us just have, I see Buckley, straight jacket profession. Yes. We all deserve a straight jacket at some point because we all come out of meetings and we're going, blah, 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 blah. A lot of teachers turn writers, I think, because we're around the work, we're around reading, and we're around writing, and we love the stories. And we see so many stories that happen every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we see sort of the same, not the same exact stories playing out, but in every school that I've ever worked in, and I've worked down in the States, and I've worked up here in Canada in the North, and I've worked on Native American reservations, and in every single school I've worked in, there's always the geek. There's always the outsider. There's always the cheerleader type.
Mm-hmm.
There's these archetype characters in every, and you want to tell their story from a unique perspective, or you want to show them that this happens to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and we're all connected through the story, so...
It goes for New Zealand, too, Buckley said. For me personally, I think, honestly, that when you're in the thick of it and you're around all the students all the time, you're seeing so much of their untarnished view of the world still. I mean, they still have that very uncynical approach, or most of them do, to everything, and they're still very creative. They're still very open-minded, and that
mm-hmm.
does rub off on you, and that does, you know, keep you in that little bit and let you be, like, kind of exploring those things and
mm-hmm.
doing the writing and very creative. At least for me, that was part of it.
I like being around some of my students who like to write, too, because they have such a zest for it. They love to write. It's so much a part. It's not work to them. It's something they can do because it's fun, and they get to create, and it's the one place where they can always be themselves, and everything's so... I don't want to say overly dramatic, but everything's so focused for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this kind of, it's so not exaggerated.
You're right, I think you hit it on the head with overdramatic. I'm a teenager myself.
Okay.
You hit it on the head.
Okay. So,
yeah,
boy,
I admire you guys. I admire you guys being able to teach. I would not have the patience for it.
Oh, I don't do it anymore.
Oh, that's probably bad.
Yeah, well, there are some of us who stick it out for 30-odd years, but
yeah,
I promised myself that once it was for the paycheck, I was out of there.
I have so much just respect for the people who can do that.
Yeah.
Because it is often a thankless job.
Thank you very much for your
and
appreciation.
I met so many people that, you know, I'm so close to when I was teaching in that. But I knew pretty much within the first month that I had not made the right career decision. I began acting, seeking other options.
Check, please.
Yeah, so I stuck it out for like 3 years, which is a lot more than most people think I'd stick it out in a classroom.
Yeah.
And I still see some of the kids today. And I taught all of them, K-8, because I taught them computers and all that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw all the kids in the school. So I'll see them now, and some of them are now having kids in that. And I'm just like, wow. It was so long ago, wow.
That was what killed me when I was down in the States in Denver, and I had one little guy came up to me, and he said, you know, Miss B, you know, how old are you? And I said I was 29 at the time. And he looks at me and goes, oh, you're older than my mother. Oy vey. Okay, kiddo, let's
thanks for that.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that ego boost, kid.
Yeah.
I remember walking in and one of the kids was like, Mrs. Roth, I looked behind me for my mother-in-law.
Oh, no.
I turned around like, where is she? Yeah. Yeah. And I realized right then, wow, maybe not for me.
They can never. Taryn Blackthorne is a pen name, and my real name is my real last name. Apparently, nobody can spell it, and nobody can pronounce it. So, I said Miss B is fine. Just use B. Okay.
Now, do any of the students and parents know that you write, or?
That's why I chose a pen name, because I thought,
Yeah.
Which was totally my friend the. PR department said, yeah, and this is my friend T, and she writes, and her pen name is Taryn Blackthorne, and you can look her up. I'm like, okay. The entire point of me having a pen name was so that they wouldn't know I was writing about mass murderers running around killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for outing
it's
me there, bud.
Almost
yeah.
more acceptable than people who write erotic fiction, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you kill people? Good for you. You write
yeah,
about romance and sex? Bad on you.
Well, I was in the coffee shop up here, and I had some of my writing students. I'm in northern Manitoba right now, which is in Canada, in case some people are lost. And I'm sitting there in the coffee shop and I'm looking around and there's this one parent of this student and one of my writer kids is talking. She's having one character fall in love with another character and she's writing science fiction so the men are actually able to get pregnant in her story, and this parent turns around and just looks at me like, will you please control these children? I'm looking at her going, no, but this is a great story. I'm really interested in it. I can't wait to read it. And the parent gets up and walks away, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Countdown for the backlash. It's coming. Yep, it's coming.
So the next, yeah, I'm just, you know, fearful that the next staff meeting, so I hear that in the future men will be able to get pregnant.
Yeah. Are you killing these men in the
bathroom? All the women will applaud you. Don't worry about it.
You'll have to go through the research process first.
Well, you know, they had that movie Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger getting pregnant.
Yeah.
I think the way is paved.
Yes. I was thinking, well, yeah, we were just talking about Junior. Yeah, I could use that.
Poor Mandy's so lost right now. Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Okay.
He's a California governor, Mandy. That guy.
I know that, yeah. I didn't know he was pregnant. Oh, my gosh.
I lose Mandy on movies on purpose.
Okay.
I am dying to know what you're working on now that will be coming out, hopefully, in the near future.
Once I finish the sequel, When All Else Fails is the name of the sequel to Aslan 2. And then after that, I have a fun romp with a genie that I hope to get published.
Now, the sequel, is that going to follow the characters from this one?
It's going to have more of Rodriguez in it,
okay.
Detective Felipe Rodriguez. He's going to play a larger role, and it's going to have Aislinn's back, so is Jackson. Laura keeps trying to come on stage, but I want her to off. I mean, I want her to stay off, but sometimes characters just don't listen to me.
My character's
kind of like
never
real life.
So and when only, you write, like, another author understands that when you say it. Everyone else thinks you're joking. Seriously, people, they take on a life of their own in your mind.
Yes. Originally, Rodriguez was just supposed to walk on stage, say three words, and walk off. I wasn't even going to give him a name. And then he turns up the next scene, and I'm kind of sitting there going, okay, well, I'll just finish this scene and keep going. And, okay, we're not going to get rid of you, are we? I have to look up a name. I have to put – and he keeps going on and on. I'm like, okay, man, shut up. We can just get off stage. But he won't stop. He just won't go away.
I love. Now I have to ask this because I've said it on the show before. Do you ever go back to work on something that isn't quite finished yet, or something that you jotted down and you're reading, and think, oh, how does it end? And you're the one who wrote it. I do that. And I can't be the only one. I want to find somebody else who does this. I'm not completely crazy.
I've done this twice.
See?
So.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, I'm like, wait. This is one of my writing files. I should probably finish that so I know how it ends. I want to ask you guys a question. Have you ever... Thank you, Pepper. The cat is asking questions. Sorry.
I'm like born.
She's loud, too. She's like, you're on the phone. Is it Grandma? Let me talk. Have you ever started a movie and it's such a bad movie that you shut it off and you take it back to Blockbuster or wherever you rented it from, and then 2 days later or whatever, you're like, I wonder how it ends.
You know, I'm a movie buff. This is Michelle, not Mandy.
Okay.
I don't think Mandy watches movies, so she might not be able to answer. Well, Mandy, for you, it's reading a book. When I watch a movie, I generally can finish almost any movie no matter how bad it is. It would really have to suck for me to turn it off.
Okay.
I don't know. At some point, it just becomes, you know, having to see the end or what happens. But there's been a few that I've actually turned off, and I can't even remember their names right now.
Because there's been some movies that have been on late at night. Maybe it's just Canadian TV or something. But I'm flipping through the channels, and I'll watch it for 15 minutes going, eh. Eh. Bye. And I'll flip the channels, and 2 days later I'll be like, how did that end? Go. Neat. Okay, now I got to look it up and see what it is and see if I can rent it. It's online somewhere.
I'm kind of addicted to B-movies anyway, so it would have to be really, really bad for me to shut it off.
I'm talking about QRS type of movies. They're like, somebody has gotten into the basement of somebody else's house, found the video camera, and started shooting.
I know the last movie that I shut off. It was High School Musical 2.
See, I didn't even get High School Musical. I don't have kids of my own. Everybody else just lets me borrow theirs.
Oh, you have to have kids to watch the Disney Channel? Yeah, all the neighborhood kids come over and we, like, hang.
Keep trying.
As I'm shoving my Disney collection under the couch.
Disney's okay. Disney's usually okay. It's just, when you get into the Zoe 101 or whatever, I used to use the excuse that, hey, I teach teenagers, I should know something about what they're watching. And everybody looked at me and go, yeah, we just rent the movie.
Yeah.
We're not buying it.
You know, yeah, I don't watch enough of them to have, like, an opinion on it. And a lot of times I think things are crap that aren't. So I don't have, like, the attention span for movies. And I don't know. It just, they don't hold me. And they really have to be great. Like, I watched one the other day and it had a... I don't know what it is. The guys run up and down the buildings and they slide down and it's parkour or something. I can't remember the name of it. But it had, like, one of the guys who invented it. And he was in it and it was, you know, a French movie and awesome movie. I don't even know what I was watching. Don't know the name of it.
Oh, the fun runners who
no,
leap
just,
and run on buildings and...
Yeah, I think it's called, like, parkour or something. Does anybody know what it's called out there? You'll have to let us know. But,
if you can't translate Mandy, that's perfectly fine. It was my best friend's vampire, Mandy. Get over it.
I'm thinking running up and down and sliding. Was she at a water park? No, wait. I didn't hear that.
It was some action film, and it was like, you know, it was this weird thing, and it sectioned off town. It was just a really great movie. And like I said, I happened upon it. I'm not really good with the dish, so I don't know how to change channel very often.
There's a little button on a thing called a remote control.
Don't even try to confuse her.
That didn't happen.
I got her to power. That's as far as our lessons have taken us.
The big red button on the top. Okay.
Yeah, if you don't send me a DVD and I can't put it in and see actually how to do it, forget it. It's not it. But no, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for coming in and joining us. If you could give everybody your website and real quick the title of your new book.
Okay. My new book is Even For Me. And the website is the same as my name, is www.taryn.blackthorn.com. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so
much
for joining us.
This has been fun.
All right. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you all in the chat room for joining us today. We hope you'll come back and visit us next week. We're on every Wednesday night from 11 to 12 p.m. Eastern. And next week we have the president of the American Tarot Association and a columnist for the Tarot World Magazine, Stephanie Arwin Lynch.
She'll be doing readings for us next week, so be sure to join us.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.